Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News. And welcome to our podcast. And we have several people online with us this evening, and we're going to have pretty much what we call an open discussion about voting rights, civil rights, and most importantly, human rights. And all of them are extremely important. Sometimes we take things for granted. And then sometimes, you know, the things that we put our faith and trust in sometimes don't always come out to be what you expect it to be. Because we're dealing with man, and man, when we deal with man, all kinds of obstacles can be put in the way, all kinds of reasons can come up. But nevertheless, we're in a serious situation in this country. And voting, from my perspective, is a serious, serious right that we have. And I don't know about anybody else who will be, you know, engaged in this conversation, but I do know that people before me, people that looks like me, have marched, demonstrated, got beat up in the head, locked up, spit upon, all kinds of atrocious things that happened to us as a people, just for the right to vote, just for the right to voice your opinion, just for the right to say we can go this way in this country or that way, not only just in the country, but in your own network of the woods, your own backyards. And sometimes people get discouraged and frustrated because they say after years and years of doing things, and some people say they have not seen any change. But from my perspective, maybe they're not looking too hard enough. Because there was a time in my own lifetime when I went to a counter one day as a little boy of 10 or 11 years old. I'm not sure which one it was. And I waited there after working all day long cutting other people grass. And I was thirsty and tired. And waited at the counter just to get a soda and a bag of chips. And I was totally ignored. I mean, they were waiting on people behind me. People that came in front of me, I mean, they were just waiting on everybody, but would not serve me. And I didn't understand at the time what was taking place. And, but after I left the store, after not even being served, all types of questions came up in my head. You know, why wouldn't they, you know, take my money? You know, if somebody tried to give me some money, I'm trying to take it. I don't care what you, you know, but that's just my thought as a child. But as I got older, that thing haunted me for the rest of my life, and it still does. How people can do that to another person, especially after you paid your dues. Because I paid my dues that day. I worked hard, honestly worked, and couldn't even get a cold drink as a child. And I was a child now. And I could see if I was out there, you know, but I was a child, and they wouldn't even serve a child. Now, who would do that to a child? But then again, things are different today. And like I say, some people don't see the changes. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, is this. We're going to have an open discussion about pretty much all of those. As I said before, your rights, voting rights, civil rights, all types of rights we want to talk about this evening. But before we get started, as always, I'd like to introduce my partner, Mr. Satawi Jahi, because he always open with positive information, thought, rendering information that I think that can stick to your mind and you can use. And so with that being said, Brother Satawi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. It's unfortunate you had to go through what you went through. You know, we all have gone through something in our lifetime in which we have experienced, you know, racism and discrimination. But our reading for the day, August 24th, living life triumphantly. Quote, I will have much more to achieve if I already have achieved it. I'd go home and sew. Clarence R. Reed, physician and sickle cell anemia researcher. Reading for the day. In a previous meditation, we examined the components of failure. Let's take a look now at the qualities that make up triumph. key: teachable, trustfulness, faithfulness. R, responsibility, respect, resourcefulness. I, integrity, imagination, ideals. U, understanding, usefulness, uplift. M, motivation, mind, morality. P, passion, persistence, patience. H, hope, happiness, harmony. Just knowing that the qualities that comprise trust is not sufficient. We must use them. What we want, said Benjamin O. Davis, the first African-American promoted to the rank of general in the armed forces, is to return to our families triumphantly. Eminent heart surgeon Daniel Hale Williams told a group of struggling interns, "The triumphant life belongs to the individual who narrows the gap between what he is, what he appears to be, and what he longs to be." When it comes to living life triumphantly, a spark of idea can cause an explosion of possibilities. To fan the flames, we need to be enthusiastically supportive of our dreams, no matter how crazy or far-fetched they seem. A triumphant life occurs when we pursue worthy goals and ideals. The only way that we can triumph is through the successful realization of our goals. I understand what it means to be triumphant, and I can see the success is possible for me. That's our reading for today, you know, about how to pursue things triumphantly and get what we want to get out of life. And, you know, I thought the way he broke the word down as far as, you know, the teachable truthfulness and thankfulness, you know, there's a lot can be said about each one of those words, but, you know, we definitely need, you know, to be teachable. You know, if we get to a point where nobody can teach us anything, then, you know, how far can we go what we want? And one is we definitely need to have truthfulness and definitely need to have thankfulness, being thankful for all that we have, our responsibility, respect, and resourcefulness, making sure that we're responsible for what we do, making sure that we respect others, and that we have resourcefulness skills in terms of the things that we do. I, integrity, imagination, and ideals. Definitely got to have integrity. And imagination is the workshop of the brain. You know, just to be able to imagine what's possible can really help you a lot in terms of just using that brain to accomplish the things that you want to do. And having ideals, you know, standing for something. You, understanding, usefulness, and uplift. Definitely got to have a lot of understanding. Making sure that you also how to have usefulness, how to make sure you're using your life and how to uplift people. Motivation, mind, and morality. You know, staying motivated, making sure you use your mind, and definitely, most definitely, having high moral character. Passion, persistence, and patience. Being passionate about what you want to be about, being persistent about it, such as building up a door with the thing of shutting down Vince's Crab House, and being patient, you know, having a lot of patience. Hope, happiness, and harmony. You know, greatest definition I ever heard of faith is, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Happiness. You know, making sure that you know that you are happy. Because if you're not happy, then you know, hey, what is it? What is there worth living for if you're not happy? And the last part, harmony. Making sure that you are in harmony with what people are doing, so that you can move forward to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. And that sort of summarizes our reading for today. I thought it was a very powerful reading as far as from this book, Daily Motivations for African American Success, and especially as we look at issues concerning voting. And, you know, there's several different schools of thought in terms of voting out there to
because of people participating in the system. And as you said earlier, David, you know, some people say, hey, you know, what do I need to vote for? You know, they ain't changed nothing yet. Well, you know, the thing is having that long-term view of being able to see long-term. I always say this. Our ancestors, when they were picking cotton on the plantation, they had a vision that one day there'd be a generation of their offspring that would not have to be out there picking cotton for people who can't see in the morning, they can't see at night. You know, and we're that generation. And so, you know, we got to make sure that we get the most out of the things that they suffer for, went through, so that we can make being African American, or as Dr. Claude Anderson liked to say, the indigenous African here in America. You know, we the ones came through the Holocaust of slavery. And so we need to make sure that we make who we are the best of what it is to be black. And so with that said, David, you know, I'm going to turn the show back over to you, brother.
I appreciate that, man. Powerful reading, man. Matter of fact, it was very touching to me, you know, because as I was thinking about this subject matter, you know, all kinds of thoughts that came to mind, you know, good and bad. And as you say, the old saying is how you look at it, you know, half full or half empty, you know, the way we perceive things. And when you mentioned that thing about our ancestors when they were in the cotton fields, and hopefully one day, and here we are, even in my lifetime, from the time that I couldn't get served at that counter to witnessing our first black president. You know, a different a generation can make. And another powerful tool is this. You know, the cycle of life is a powerful thing. Just like we stand upon great men and women who have, like you say, even those who served in the cotton field were significant. Because they, I don't need, you know, I can't, I mean, the blood, sweat, and tears that they put in there, serving others, building this country to the point where it's the greatest country in the world. Without them doing that, this country wouldn't have made it. But all of that labor that they put forth for it, just to feed us, our parents and our grandparents. And so I can't take, you know, some things for granted, because that's one of the reasons why I'm in the National Black Unity News, because I do understand some of the sacrifices that was made for us. And we, too, I believe, have to make those sacrifices. And I fully understand sometimes people don't, you know, everybody has a right to do this or not to do. You don't have, you do have the right not to participate. But at the same time, when people say they don't see any changes, well, I've seen a great deal of changes in my lifetime. Because, like I say, people in my age bracket remembers I live in the Baltimore area. When we used to go downtown Baltimore, very rarely we went there because we had other means of shopping in our own community. But once we went there, in my lifetime, there was a white water fountain and a black water fountain. There was white doors that you had to go in, black doors that you had to go in. I mean, in my lifetime. And people like my father, who was a highly educated man, they reduced when he came to Baltimore from out of North Carolina. He had great aspirations. But because of the system, the way the system was set up, they had him cleaning out toilets and stuff, you know. And I can imagine the hurt, the pain, the frustration, but he had a lot of mouths to feed, so he had to be humble and submissive. I, too, had to be humble and submissive in my lifetime. When I was making an evolution in my own life, when I was on a job and they put me through so many changes, almost caused, I tell people about my story sometimes, almost caused me to be a mass murderer one day. But that's a long story. But in any case, that's how deep it goes. And but at the same time, I do believe in God, and I do believe there's a process, and I do think that some things takes time. And but again, I am going to open up this call because, like I say, you know, this is an open call, And like I said, my opinion, I just have one opinion, but I'm quite sure because, like my brother Satawi, he's been out there on the front lines for a long time. He even served in the military, fought for this country, served this country, and then came back and had to face the same thing my father had to face, another generation. And but now I look at my children, your children, you know, now they're able to go to school of their choices now. Even though this is a rough time, it's not all equal. We come a long way, though, Sandy, but we got a long way to go. But still, we're into everything now. Like I say, from the President of the United States, we're in Congress right now. We teaching colleges. I mean, we professors. We just anything we want to do now. But there was a time, not long ago, when we couldn't do those things. But I'm open to the call. I'm gonna play double advocate too, because, like I said, I know a lot of strong brothers and sisters out there who have given up on this system, and they're extremely frustrated. Now, people use this claim just here in Baltimore, Maryland. There's a place some people call all across this country called Ground Zero, and this is in the area of Baltimore called Pennsylvania and North Avenue, one of the busiest intersections in Baltimore City. And people travel, they're going to work, schools, and all kinds of things. They just travel through that section. And unfortunately, I was raised up in that area. A part of my life was raised up in that area. And I remember when it was in its heyday. Pennsylvania Avenue itself was like our Mecca. When I said we had to shop in other, that's one of the areas where we shopped at. Up and down, I thought that was the greatest place. We had everything. Entertainers came from all around the world, came to Pennsylvania Avenue. We had a school, hospital, we had all of those things back in the day. But now, and I can see this is where the frustration comes to that. Even from the 1968 riots, even to the riots that we recently just had on Pennsylvania and North, people said nothing has changed. Matter of fact, the houses are dilapidated. And one of the most hurting things that I've seen in that area is that people walking around like zombies. I mean, it's just like you're watching a TV show. It's so unreal sometimes to see people so drugged out, who have abused their bodies, you know, have given up on life and just existing. I mean, a whole community just walking around, a lot of people. That's what I'm talking about, was visible at the time to me. And every time I go down there quite often, I pretty much see the same picture. But what we don't see sometimes, those people in the same community working hard every day and this, that, because they're not on the corners. They're not out there. They're doing what they have to do, you know. But at the same time, those houses in the community, and I'll tell you this straight up, I was raised in that area, but I remember going to other parts of town. It was just as dilapidated, you know, it was kind of just as old as that part of town was. But look at it today, the difference in the two. You can go to Fells Point. I think it's southeast Baltimore. And no more houses. Matter of fact, you know, it's extremely older than with, you know, when in case. But you can almost eat off the ground over there. Businesses are booming. All kinds of things. I mean, everything just up. I mean, the community is upkept. But then you cut travel to pieces like inner city, like Baltimore. I mean, West Baltimore, East Baltimore. Nothing changed. Matter of fact, it gotten worse. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, anybody can just jump in here, because one of the first things we want to talk about is the right to vote. And does your vote really count? Or is this a numbers game they use or what? Because you can jump in with your own opinion, but I'm going to throw mine out there before y'all jump in there. One thing, the telltale sign to me is, well, why would they try to suppress it? Why are people going to so many lengths to stop me from voting? And it's kind of baffling sometimes, you know, the do's and the don'ts about voting. But, again, anybody, don't let me call you out, because I will. We have quite a few people on there who are extremely knowledgeable about voting and extremely knowledgeable about serving the community. They still serving, because most of them serving the National Black Unity News. A lot of them I see on the call with us right now, even on Facebook Live, who have served in the military, fought for this country, fought for us, and still on the front line, still battling for us as a people to, you know, to get to a certain point. And so with that being said, Mr. Murphy, are you available, sir?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
I do know this is kind of close to your heart, this voting thing. So you want to share your opinion by voting or not voting or why we should vote?
Well, you know, when it comes down to voting, there's no question in my mind that one should exercise one of their few rights that they truly have in this great country of ours. It is so important. It is so important that you utilize all of your tools. And unfortunately, we don't have that many because we're limited by so many laws, rules, regulations at our customs. However, one of the things that we must overcome and one of the things that we must do is exercise one of the most vital means of exercising your right when it comes down to how you're governed is your vote. And if you do not use it, you automatically lose it. And so without getting into too deep about, you know, what voting is and why it's supposed to be all that, we've been bombarded with so much information. What's more important is that we got to reach those who do not feel as though they're being heard. We need to reach those individuals who do not understand how vital that one little tick on a piece of paper, that one little mark on a piece of paper means not only to the person that you're voting for, but the one that you're not voting for. It is a powerful tool. And if you do not explain and have those individuals who do not exercise it, they're the ones we're trying to address, the ones who are not exercising that right. They're the ones, because let me put it to you like this. According to the last election, had just 30% of all the black people in certain areas would have voted, we would not be in this condition that we're in today. Not 100%, not 90%, not even 30% would have made the entire difference in the election. So it's our kids, our friends, our neighbors who are sitting back and not voting. Now, if you're voting on this term, and you know folks who have not registered, if you know individuals who cannot get to the polls, it is your personal responsibility to try to assist them in making sure that their right can be exercised. Back to you, David.
Let me ask you a question before you go, sir, is this. You often say this quote, a confused mind does nothing. And so because some people, like I say, if they believe in the fact that nothing has changed, or their vote really don't count, and then because, to be quite frank with you, a lot of people that who even vote sometimes vote for the wrong reason. They vote because, oh, that person looked nice, or he sound nice. But a lot of people don't know when they go to the polls, we got all of these people on these ballots, judges, controllers, all kinds of people. And most people have no clue of who these people are, what they're doing, or why they're doing it. And so why would you waste your time trying to vote when you don't really understand the system? So do you think, or most likely, you know, but do you think that why some people don't vote because they, like I said, not only do they say it's nothing changed, but they don't understand the real power of voting?
I don't disagree with you, David. A part of it is just that. Let's face it, y'all. Most of the people that's on this call right now are people who are hungry for information, individuals who are seeking, people who are still doing, being a viable part of our community. Unfortunately, too many of us have been disenfranchised, worn to the point where they just do not care. Flat out, but they just plain out don't care. And when you get to that point, what happens to a lot of us is because of apathy, you can't penetrate that, but you got to give folks a reason to do anything. I don't care what it is. If you want to get folks to do something, you can put the card out there, put the money out there, whatever it motivates them, that's what you must do. But what's more important is that, you know, individuals have a right to do what they want to do, and that's what's great about America. I don't say that, you know, kill the person who don't vote, because that's not what we're about either. However, what we must do is, just like anything else in life, we must encourage them to the point where they are a willing participant. But what's most important, David, like you said, is they're not informed. They are an uninformed electorate. And when you do not know, and when you do not care, you don't do. Back to you, David.
All right. Matter of fact, okay, we got a young man who's actually our co-host, Mr. Andre Hector. Can you unmute yourself, sir? Mr. Hector, if you're available, can you unmute yourself? Because He is one of the co-hosts of the National Black Unity News podcast, and he's a young guy, you know, from where I'm at anyway. He's young.
That's right.
And so what's your opinion on this voting thing, sir?
My opinion, quite frankly, I think we need to get out there and vote. I mean, we talk about change all the time, but this is an opportunity. If you don't like what's going on, I encourage everybody to go out there and make it happen. I don't care if they did take the mailboxes or whatever. You just make sure you exercise your social distancing, wash your hands, sanitize yourself, put that mask on, and go out there and make it happen.
Okay. All right, you know I'm coming to you, Miss Fran Allen. I know you have something to say on this.
Well, I've been trying to let everybody else, you know, talk, because sometimes I feel like I monopolize the conversation. And but today, you asked the question, you know, why is it necessary for them to suppress the vote? Why do people try to suppress the vote for so many folks? And I would just offer this. You know, cheaters cheat, liars lie, and haters hate. That's what they do. Cheaters cheat, liars lie, and haters hate. So for whatever reason, if they don't feel they can win honestly, if they're a cheater, they're going to cheat. That's second nature. That's what they do. They're going to try to steal something because that's what they do. If they know that telling the truth is not going to get them what they want, then liars will lie, because that's what liars do. They don't care about the truth getting them what they want or not. They only care about getting what they want, and whatever means they have to use to get that is what they're going to do. So liars will lie. And haters are those people who won't do the things that they need to do to have the things that they really want. They're going to hate on you and put the spotlight on you so that there's no light on them, so that no one can see what they do in the dark, because the light is on you and not on them. Voting is really the only process by which we have to affect real change, change in leadership, change in policy, change in law, change in the resources, change in how the budget, how the money is spent. All of that is driven by votes. And if you participate, you have some chance of your voice being heard through that process. But if you don't participate, you don't get a voice. You don't get a say. You don't have an opportunity to demonstrate what is important to you, because you didn't participate in the process that allows you to do that. So many of us say that our vote doesn't count, and so we don't vote, but it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because truly, if you do not vote, there is no vote for them to count. Therefore, your vote doesn't count if you don't vote. That's the only time.
Wow. Okay.
That is the only time that your vote does not count, when you don't make. So for those people that keep saying, man, my vote don't count, you are absolutely correct, because you don't go to the polls, you don't fill out a ballot, you don't mail anything, you don't drop nothing off, you don't do any of that. You just fuss and complain and raise sand about what you don't have and where you can't go and what you won't, they won't let you do. Here comes the big they and them. They and them. They and them is you. They and them is you. Stop being one of them people that don't vote, and stop worrying about those people. Stop it. Stop it. Worry about you. Go to the polls. Go to the polls where your voice can be heard and it can become part of the collective voice that drives resources to our communities. We do that. When we vote, and we vote in mass numbers, guess what? The bigger the number that votes, the bigger the number of resource that comes to the community. It is connected. It is. You can say that it's not, but certainly you would say that. You don't vote. So stop it. Go vote. so our kids can have books in the school instead of learning off of some Xerox copy paper because they can't get a book, or they're getting the books that the other kids had 4 or 5 years ago that don't have a cover on it, and the only way you know what the name of the book is because on the side of the spine of the book, the name of the book is still on the spine, but the cover's been gone. Stop it. That our children deserve so much more. Our children are so absolutely brilliant. Even with the substandard materials that they have to learn from, they are still brilliant. They are still amazing. And we don't do them any service by not voting so they don't get the resources that they need so that they can take care of our little feeble behinds so we can't do it anymore. Y'all need to vote. Quit playing. I'm done.
All right, friends. Straight to the point. Brother Satavia, I'm going to come back to you, sir, because Fran mentioned children. And Brother Satavia, that's how I met him. Him and his wife was working with children. And matter of fact, like, as I always say, David taught my children. And Brother Satavia, now you used to have the ears of all of these young people. Did you ever bring up the right to vote to them and your teachings to our youngsters?
Good evening. This is his wife, Cynthia, and yes, we did. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Cynthia, how you been?
Great. As a matter of fact, one of our former students is Senator McCray. So, yes, we did. And he got inspired from coming to the Culture Center. So what I want to say to go along with what Fran said, voting is so important because first you do your research about the candidates and the issues. Then once you vote, you know that you are in, you participated because you voted. Now from there, you have other choices. For example, in Baltimore, we got a chance to meet quite a few of the council people by name. Go down and meet with them. Set appointments. Let them know what your agenda is, what it is your community needs. See, the thing of it is, it doesn't end with the vote, but it starts with the vote. With the vote, you begin to get to know the issues, the candidates, and then you even feel more empowered because you know that you voted. You know who you voted for. And I'm going to tell you, once you start going down to meet with these candidates, and I'm quite sure a friend would agree, hold their feet to the fire. And I'm going to tell you some things specifically that happened to us. When we were Hurricane Katrina evacuees, because I had a personal relationship with Congresswoman Mikulski, when we called her office, and I would hate to say this, I called some other people's offices too, and they did not return our call. But she did. And 9 o'clock on a Friday night, she sent her representative, Ms. Brown, to the hotel that we were staying in, and she took care of business. So those personal relationships and voting, it makes a difference. I also participated in TDP, Teachers Democracy Project. We were able to go down. I was able to sit down with Mr. McCray. I was able to meet with Gil Carter and talk to different people about what we want in our community. Do we always get what we want? No. But guess what? When you show up and they see your face and they see your people, they're like, oh, wait a minute. I got some work that I have to do. Sometimes they tell me that we have to give them the work that they need to do because they don't know necessarily all the issues, or they might not think the issues are important if we didn't vote for them and if we don't show up. So, yes, I just wanted to share that with you. I'm going to turn it back over to my husband, to Colin.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Voting is very, very important. And, you know, again, it's so, so important. I mean, and right now, if nothing else, people need to vote. So that idiot that we got occupying the White House can be removed. You know, if for no other reason, you know, make that the number one agenda. Get him out of the White House. So, you know, as I was or some other Facebook groups and people was talking about withholding their vote. I said, it's not a good time to do that, y'all. I said, because if you withhold your vote, then you're voting for Trump. You know, and I caught some flack from some of the people, but bottom line is that's the real deal.
True, that's the truth.
You know, so you when you withhold your vote, you're hurting your community. You're hurting the people who you're gonna have to go back to, and take care and do certain things for them. And you know, Trump made a statement the other day. he said that he's done more for the black community than perhaps Abraham Lincoln. And he said that if we don't study our history, that we could end up back repeating things. And part of what I know he was alluding to, he was saying it in code language, is that we could end up back in slavery. So, you know, it's so important that people exercise their right to vote. This is a critical time. I know that, you know, people want reparations on the table and other things. And, you know, right now we need, the main goal is to get him out of the White House, and then all those other things we can work on as we build an agenda and a black perspective. But the number one perspective right now is Trump's got to go. He's got to go. He's hurting too many people. So, and for no other reason, people, those that hear my voice, make sure that you exercise your right to vote. If you go to mail in your ballot, you know, you do is you can take it, drop it off at the when did you drop your ballots off at, Fran?
They need to drop their ballots off at the polling places. If they can't, if they're voting early and the polling places are not open, you can take your ballots to the Board of Elections. It is not my practice to take my ballot to the post office because, quite frankly, in all honesty, I don't trust the people at the post office. I used to. There used to be a time where people took the job seriously, but too many people are being paid under the table to do some very underhanded, evil things, and you don't know who is getting what to do what anymore. And so even though I will get my ballot in the mail, I will fill it out, and on election day, I am going to take my ballot to the polling place and drop it off. Now, if I have to wait in a line, so what? I got to wait in one when I go to Walmart. I got to wait in one if I go to Target. I got to wait in one if I go to the grocery store. I got to wait in one if I go to Home Depot. So I wait in a line if I go to the gas station. So what? I'm going to wait in that line. I'm going to wait in that line because this is important. The other thing that is really critically, critically important, no matter who we put in the White House, if we don't put other Democratic people in the seats in the Congress and the Senate, the White House will have no one to work with. It's not enough to put a Democratic president in the White House and to give him a bunch of Republicans to work with in the House and the Senate, because we'll stay in the same position that we are in now. We have got to vote Democratic all along the ticket, so that the Democratic president that we put in office will have a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House, so they can give us the resources that we used to have back and create some other opportunities for us as we move forward that have been taken away from us. It is true. Obama got in the House. Yes, he did. He got in the White House, turned the White House into the Black House. That's what I was calling it when he was in there. Yeah, we all going to the Black House. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. When he did not have a Democratic majority in the House, he got nothing done because he cannot do it by himself. Like this idiot is signing all these executive orders that have no legal standing and no legal authority, but because he's the president, he believes that he can just write a letter and make anything happen. It doesn't work like that. It really doesn't. That's another reason why it's so important for us to get this man out of this office, because he has no idea how it actually works. And he doesn't care, because he's going to make it, you know, for him, as far as he's concerned, he's just on another bad episode of The Apprentice. Whatever. Look at all the people that have gotten handcuff bracelets since he's been in there that have been associated with him. This man done put more people in jail than you can shake a stick at. And guess what? Some more are going to go. That's why Kellyanne is trying to get out the White House right now. Because she don't want them bracelets.
Is there a question?
That's right.
But, you know, Go ahead.
I got a question.
Go ahead, Hector.
This is Vernon. Ms. Fran, you was talking about Obama. Wasn't it voters that helped him get in, or did he get in by himself?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean,
no, I know, but I'm just trying to encourage
President Obama got in office because the people voted for him.
Yes.
And the people voted for him in the states that have the electoral colleges that also had to turn their vote over for Mr. Obama because of the number of votes that he got. Okay, so he won the Electoral College, and he won the popular vote as well, probably the first president in a long time to win both, but he did.
So our vote does count.
Yes, so your vote does count. But let me tell you something. Even if – so Maryland puts a Democratic congressional delegation in the halls of Congress. That's just one state. So there are 435 members of Congress and 224 or whatever members in the Senate. You have to have a majority of both in order to move legislation. Okay. So if the majority is, let's see, for, you know, I'm not good at math. I can only count my money, and this is not my money. So. But the majority of the people in Congress, if they are not Democrats, if they are Republicans and you have a Democratic president, why would they help him? Why would they do anything to help him if they're not going to cut the deals under the table? And that's part of the reason why we're in the shape that we're in, because they're cutting so many deals under the table with the legislation that they do pass. You know, they pass a bill for, let's say, the stimulus, to give everybody the $600 a month with their unemployment benefits. But do you know what else was in that bill? That's what they talked about. That's the thing that they publicized. But they didn't tell you about all the things that they took away from us in order to find that $600 to give to us. They didn't give us nothing. They took it away from one other pot so they could put it in another pot. And guess what? We were entitled to money out of both pots, but we didn't get both money out of both pots because they didn't tell us that they stole from one to put it. They're just robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're not doing anything for the American people that they should not have already been doing.
Right.
They didn't give us nothing. Come right. on. Everybody's talking about all this great resource and all these benefits they're getting. Those are not benefits. I paid that money in. They better give me my money back. Quit playing. There ain't no benefit.
Right.
It's a payment. They need to give me my, it's a refund. That's
right.
What it is. Come on. Call that stuff what it really is, y'all. Come on, please.
It's an overtaxation flow. It's a, you know, probably an overflow from some taxation
probably
years ago.
Probably because the government has multiple slush funds. Don't let nobody tell you the government's going broke. That is an absolute bald-faced lie. They have many slush funds where they put money that they don't want anyone else to know about because they're saving it for their pet projects or their whatever it is that they're, you know, whatever their under-the-table deals are. If you give me this, I'll give you that. And then they go in the slush fund and find the funding to fund it. This is nonsense. That this man, we got to get him out because, you know, his time has come and now his time is gone. It's time for us to change the channel, y'all. 45 is off. We need to get to 46 and keep it moving.
That's right. Keep him going.
Okay, let me ask you this then. I think it was you, Fran, or Satavi, or, you know, this president, he said cold words. And like people say, he talks to his base. And it's obvious his base, they have one thing in common most people would agree to, is that much as this man has done, the multitude of lies that has been told.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, the people around him, in and out of jail, because of him too, because he's the head man. He just like any of our mobsters out there, you know, they they put the tie so you don't get to the top man. You know, you got a lot of fall guys all around that would take the blame, you know, so you keep yourself clean from that. You know, that's
what you think that slush money, what you think that slush fund is paying for? These guys, you know, they don't want to jail. I'll go to jail for them, you know. I need $3 million. Okay. What's 36 months in jail when you come out and you got $4.5 million waiting on you to go to wherever you want to go, do whatever you want to do, and you don't have to work another day in your life? Who cares? The time is going to come and the time is going to go. And they don't put you in a federal facility where you're going to have to worry about Bubba and them, okay, because that ain't happening. That's not where they are. They're in places like the country club. It's true. They can play golf. How many brothers you know in prison playing golf? They can play golf. Okay. They eat. When they eat, they go to the dining room. Yeah, well, our brothers ain't going to no dining room. They go into a room and they get them some food, but it's not the dining room. Come on. This is crazy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say this, Dave. First, I'm going to say hello to everybody. Because, you know, I got another program I have to do at 8:30. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to get off. But, you know, I'm going to just say this, man. Like I said, this is the type of conversation you need a lot of time when you got a lot of people, because there's a lot of debate on this. And I think that, you know, I mean, I was listening to everybody, but I guess that, you know, I was more inclined to comment in terms of what Cynthia said, because she's the closest in terms of how I see it. You know, I mean, you know, voting is a very important tool and we have to use it. But, you know, at the same time, we don't get nothing because we're not organized to get nothing. You know, I mean, when you talk about our communities, I don't care. You know, when we look at these black cities where the Democrats in charge, but we look at the cities, but they could be different if we went down there with 200-300 people every time they had a council meeting, because not only did our vote count, but our voice is going to count because we're going to be united. So, you know, and so when people say the vote don't count, people say that because people don't see no return in terms of what they're giving for their vote. You know what I'm saying? But it's like Cynthia said, they have to know you and you have to be organized to make them do some other things that need to get done. I mean, you know, listen, wishfully we thinking and we hope that we could just pull the lever and vote for somebody, they're going to be what we want them to be, but it don't happen like that. You know what I'm saying? So until people really get involved in numbers, you know what I'm saying, and around particular issues and not personalities, if we know we want something that's around an issue, I don't care who's leading it, then hell with the leader, let's organize around that issue and let's go down there 200-300. Let's go to Annapolis by 1,000. That's it. Look, man, that's the whole important thing where people pay people big money to be lobbyists. You know what I'm saying? Because they're lobbying an issue. You know what I'm saying? They're in front of their face constantly pushing an agenda that somebody wants them to push. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm saying there's a lot happened to us in terms that we're so disconnected because how they got this system structured, and we really don't understand it. And those of us that do understand it, then we can't organize enough people to fulfill what needs to be done to get some of them things done in our community. So that's what I'm saying. So when we have these type of discussions, you need a lot more time, man. When you got 12, 15 people trying to just deal in this here from this angle, man, because this is going to take a lot of time. Or either you just need one or two people that can educate people about this whole process. You know, because, I mean, like you say, even with Trump, and I'm going to close on this, God knows, man, I don't care what happened to that man. I hope he hurry up and get out of office. But, you know, at the same time, like I say, it's not just the it's not just the Republicans that kept that guy in office. You know what I'm saying? You have to have another process. This is the highest job in the land, and you ain't got nothing but this little process to impeach him, and no matter what he do, there's nothing y'all can do. That's absolutely madness, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's an embarrassment to the entire country and the entire world that you can have a process like this, and everybody can see this man is mentally unfit. They can see that this man is causing division. Because that's what he wants to. You know, he don't understand the political system, and y'all leave him there. It's madness. So I'm just saying, man, you know, I appreciate what everybody's saying, but again, you know, I think like what Seth just said, man, you know, man, until we understand this whole process, we know who's in office, you know, we got their phone numbers, we can go see them, and we can take 100, 200 people down to City Hall because we need something in our community. We would not get what we want just because we get them our vote.
Bill, you said a mouthful.
He sure did.
Let me say this, you know, because we don't have much time. But you know, when I was coming up in school, you know, they didn't teach you. I don't think they're doing it too much today. Really teach you what to vote and how things work in government. You know where we got our information from? What's the name of that little cartoon thing called Pop Rock or whatever you call it? You know, Confunction Junction, you know? I got to learn more from that.
School Rock.
Yeah, School Rock. I learned more from than I ever did it in school.
That's
how
true.
The bill to get passed. I learned it from watching them things. Yeah. And you know, but you know, but in this great country of ours, we don't have a real thing. I guess what my brother used to say, you don't lift a lane to the game. Because, you know, and then things will really change if we really knew what the process was all about. Somebody else wanted to say something real quick?
Hey, look, everybody, I got a program. Yeah.
All right, Bill, I'll be checking in on you.
All right, Bill.
Yeah, Kathleen. Yes,
Kathleen. I just wanted to going behind Bill. I don't know, but anyway, I'll do my best. He had so much good stuff to say. Can you all remember the first time you voted?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I can't remember. I cannot truly remember, but I do know this. I remember when I was in the sixth grade, we had a mark vote for the presidency. Everyone in the school had to go and stand in line and cast their vote. And at that time, we were voting for J.F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they made the announcement that he won in my little elementary school. That was in the sixth grade, we did that. And I remember that. That was very meaningful. Oh, boy, we were so concerned. Will he win? And it was unanimous. He won in our class. But I say that to say that those were my early years. And I think back on when I was in my 20s. And I know that I didn't really vote initially. I was educated, and I went out there seeking jobs. Had a lot of racism to happen to me on my first jobs. Where I should have, at that time, really looked around and said, change needs to take place. And that would have been the time to have gotten, like Bill said, get organized, do something, go to city council. But I didn't do that in my 20s. It wasn't until I was in my 30s that I started attending city council meetings and going to those kinds of events to find out what actually is happening in my neighborhood. But I remember my parents. The vote was important. My parents were not educated people. They went back to school and acquired a GED and however you did that back in the 50s and 60s. But when my mama and daddy would go to vote, they got dressed up. It was that important to them. It was a big event. They literally got dressed up as like they were going to church to go and vote. And most of the people in the neighborhood did that the same way. In my town, most of the people would vote at the local elementary schools. So it was a big thing. And I say all of that to say that even back then, even bringing us up to now, maybe I didn't do anything back when I was in my 20s to say, okay, some real unfair things happened to me in the job industry where maybe I could have dug deep and have had some things changed. Had gone and talked to some people that were representing us and make labor law changes, but I didn't know enough to do that. I think that, like you all have said in the conversations, that sometimes we get confused and we don't know what to do, and sometimes we give up. I think I gave up for a short period of time and didn't do a whole lot of things, but I regrouped, and I'm proud to say I am a voter, and I've been a voter for years. And I try to make sure that everyone around me knows the importance of the vote. And I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Kathleen. Wait, Brother Hector, did you want to say something, sir?
Yeah, once again, I apologize for the delay. I had technical issues, as those things do come sometimes, dealing with, you know, just live internet radio and so many more things. We were moving some stuff around and, you know, they unplugged the internet and that was a wrap. So, and like putting things back together was a job, but this is Andre Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker. Once again, I apologize, David Murphy, Satawi Jahi. So, you know, once again, you know, I was listening to the young lady talking about how important voting is And if, you know, remembering a time when anybody can vote, but you better make it your business to remember to go out there and vote. Voting is, it is exciting because that's the moment when you have an opportunity to change the outcome. Talking about it is not going to do it. You know, reading up on it is good. Education is great. But when we actually go out there to make it happen, that's important. Like the young lady said, how she felt when she went to go vote. You know, feel good about being a part of change. And that's what it's all about, people. Right now, the days and times that we're living in recently, people have made the subject of voting very cloudy and very uncertain. Don't let nobody deter you about voting. Oh, your vote doesn't count. What if it just doesn't go the way I want it to go? Or is it really, you know, important for me to vote and then nothing happens? Look, let me tell you something. It's just as important as you waking up in the morning and having purpose. Your purpose is to make things happen and just make a change. So, and I encourage everybody, look, you know, this is the most important event of this year right now. And if we're not liking what we're seeing, then it's definitely, we need to make it our business to be out there. I don't care if the mail, the post office took those mailboxes. I don't care what anybody says. They're going to use this as an excuse for COVID-19. Look, don't let that frighten you, people. Go out there and make a difference. Practice your social distancing. Make yourself prepared and go out there and make it happen. Do not let people fill your head up with nonsense, because that's all it is nonsense. And they're especially putting nonsense in the Black community, and it has to stop right here and right now. You know you need to make a change. Go do it. Andre Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker.
All right. You know, I've been listening to everyone very intently, and you know, this is serious times, and we desperately need to educate ourselves as to how the process actually works. Fran, right. Cynthia, and Brother Bill, all of y'all hit on it. Mr. Murphy, all of y'all hit on it straight up, and I hope that the listening audience take heed to what has been said. Because it's a lot of knowledgeable people on here, but I'm going to give you a warning, because I'm in the media, and I know how propaganda works. I've been doing this thing for almost 40 years now, and propaganda is a powerful tool, and voting is one of the most powerful rights that we have in this country, and that's why they distort it, put it out there, no, it don't work. Why do you think Russia and them putting all them subliminal messages to people to get people to go against one another? And just that. But I'm going to say this is most important. Do not take this thing for granted, because, like they said, this person in office right now is sending out all types of codes. He said history can repeat itself. He also said things like, hey, I'm not leaving here. You know, y'all may take that as a joke. He's a crazy man, this, that, but he's serious about that. And those people behind him is serious about that. Why would you think, I'm just common sense, let's go, I'm just going to keep it real as we see on this show. Why would you think on about half of this country are following this man? Not because he's charismatic, not because he had great policies. They know this man is a liar. He told them straight to their face, if he go do something in the middle of the street, they will follow him anyway. But you know what they have in common? They have one common thing in common. Hate, and they hate us. Hate Black people, people of mixed color. People just don't like other people but themselves. And that's a shame, but you know people like it. And throughout history, they did it to Jesus. They did it throughout history. This thing has played over and over again. And this man, to be from my perspective, a dictator. That's why he liked Putin. That's why he liked that old guy in Korea. That's why he wanted his own little parade going up down the street. You know, because they doing it. He likes that type of, he's power driven, he's power hungry.
Right.
And it's nothing that he don't give, he really be straight, he don't give a damn about you or they. It's about his and all. Like when Fran was saying, them and they, you know, we and us got to stand up. We have to stand up because this is certain. I'm going to talk about just like I told you before in the beginning of this broadcast, our children, us, me, I benefit what those our people were doing in those cotton fields and building this country up. and being thrown in jail for this and this, this, that. You know, you'd be surprised what the average person had to go just for the right to vote. And yes, we had voting has made some change and made a lot of change. Because like I said, in my own lifetime, I've seen the difference. But again, I'm going to forewarn you, what's taking place is for real. You can go back to that. You can, even in some countries right now, they're putting people on slave blocks right now. They're taking our babies all across the world and putting them in slavery. You hear about it every day, missing children. If you don't think this thing is real, it's a real thing going on out there. Hundreds of thousands. You just heard about it in Africa. But this, in our own country, a multitude of children and people have disappeared. And if y'all, you got to take this thing seriously. People like Trump and everybody, his cronies and everybody else, if they had the way, you will go back to that. They would take just about every, because guess what? If you don't believe, I'm going to give you one simple saying, I'm going to shut it down. Go to our penal institutions. Look what percentage of us is in this country that are black. But then when you go to those penal institutions, look how many percentage of those of us are in there compared to the larger community. Why would you think they would pass a legislation so that private people can own penal institutions, slave owners? Do you know how much they put them people to work and they get pennies? They get, matter of fact, it is said, it is written, and it's a fact. We're worth more now than we was in slavery. Those people in jail. That's the new system. And that's why they training our children to go straight to jail. And if we don't stand up and take our rightful roles and take this thing seriously, history can repeat itself because it's already in process. And so I thank each and everybody on the call this evening because, you know, sometimes we sit back and we just throw stuff out there at people and you know, and don't take this thing too seriously. But this is a serious, serious matter. And even God himself said, the pen is mightier than the sword. With that pen, they can put things into law. With that same pen, they can take all your God-given rights and your human rights away from you. Why do you think they can just shoot people down in the street now until we raise up and start demonstrating? They can just kill them. This is nothing new. This has been going on. But again, ladies and gentlemen, we thank each and everybody that's been on this call, who's on the podcast, who's on Blog Talk. We have a lot of different ways that we are broadcasting this podcast. And I want to thank all those people out there on Facebook, Instagram, and everything else for chiming in. And this will be available tomorrow. And we will have a rebroadcast of this, you know, so you can listen to it. If you didn't get it all entirety today, you can get it later on. Again, I want to thank everybody who's participated in this call. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, our time is up. And we thank everybody. We see you next week at the same place, the same time. But again, tomorrow night, we do a podcast for the National Black Unity News, where you get the opportunity to meet quite a few of our editors, supporters, and ideas. And you know, we're talking about a lot of issues and problems, but the National Black Unity News is about solutions. We just don't talk about it. We are about it. You know, we are making changes with the National Black Unity News. And one of our panelists, if you want to call it that, is the host, Ms. Fran Allen. And also, one of our participants, who's also a part of the National Black Unity News, will be one of the guests tomorrow, Mr. Vernon Streeter, who has another powerful tool. Along with the National Black Unity News, is also a powerful tool that's going to bring us together and can change, because he's in broadcasting, and it's a power. I'm not going to spill the beans, but I'll let him do that tomorrow. You need to chime in, because this brother got something seriously going on. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, so it's tomorrow at 7:30. You can go to the National Black Unity News Facebook page, or you can go to David Murphy's page, David L. Murphy Sr. page, and you can find information out, because we all be broadcasting before the podcast takes place. And ladies and gentlemen, vote if your life depended on, because it really does. Thank you to every one of you, and I'm going to say good night, and it's quarter. All right, thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Good
night,
Dave.
Good
night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Okay, the Cybercast broadcast of National Black Unity News show is coming to an end. And I want to thank Mr. David Murphy and his friend Alan and other participants, all the comments and things that they shared. And as we always do, to close out with our theme song, Oh, It's My Time. All right, here we go.
that y'all that